Your greatest act of worship, my greatest act of worship, is when you and I crawl up on our altar and say, Jesus, have all of me. Just have all of me. Just have all of me, God. Just use me for your glory. Use me for your fame. Use me for your renown. Whatever you want from me today, I'm all yours. I'm all in.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Oh Lord, we magnify your name. We extol you. There's none like you, God. There's none like you in a world that continues to free fall into the abyss spiritually, God. Would you keep us from that free fall? Lord, so many who have professed Christ over the years have been swept away, lured and baited into the darkness. And so, God, I pray that that profession of theirs would become real. And as the Holy Spirit lives inside of them, they would no longer be a part of the free fall into the abyss. So, God, would you be our teacher through the Holy Spirit? Pray that you would guide us into truth and away from error, that we would see your word clearly, that we would drink deeply, that we'd bathe in the truth and resist what's false at all costs, God. So help us. Again, protect us right now from Satan. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 12, and it's not a misprint in your outline. We are looking at verses 1 and 2. These two verses that we've studied separately over the last 2 weeks, after much prayer, much meditation, I believe for the true believer, are two of the most foundational, important verses in all of Scripture. If you're really going to take the next step spiritually, you have to understand, embrace, hold on to with every fiber of your being, and never let go of Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so we're going to recap with some new supporting verses, these two verses. If you've been here, I pray that the Holy Spirit will illuminate truth, perhaps, that you didn't see before. If you haven't been here, I pray you're going to see how direly needed these two verses are. You got to have these verses. These are just mission critical. These are life. These are the air you're going to breathe as a believer. Like, you're going to need this. This is your oxygen. This is your oxygen tank right here, these two verses. I find it interesting as I was praying through this past week, and it really began to cement in my mind and crystallize in my mind. Not that it wasn't there before, but it just became even more clear. The clarity was just resounding in my mind of what our aim is at Redeemer Bible Fellowship. You know, we didn't start Redeemer Bible Fellowship just to be another church. There's plenty of just another church around. There's plenty. They're everywhere. Our aim is and was and is today and forever will be to communicate biblical truth with passion, with clarity, with fidelity, and prayerfully to create in the listener, the hearer, an obsession for biblical truth. That's really why we exist. And I thought about that, and then just yesterday, I came across, by a person who gave these to me, some latest statistics. I found it intriguing that earlier in the week, God was crystallizing in my mind our aim and our mission that has been there from day one, but I needed to say it again to articulate it, that our aim is not to be just another church. Our aim is to be a church that's founded and grounded on the living, breathing Word of God. We won't compromise. We won't. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Like when you draw a line in the sand and you are resolute on the front end that you're not going to compromise, you're not going to compromise. And we're not going to compromise. Oh, we're going to be loving. We're going to be gracious. Amen, amen, amen. But when push comes to shove, what the Bible teaches is where we stand. If we begin to compromise on part of the Bible, we've now compromised on all the Bible. And so we're going to stand, amen? Amen. We're going to stand. And we'll take the hits as they come. Here's the latest statistics I was given. It says here, here are the results from our 2025 State of Theology Survey. And they are sobering. And these aren't mine, by the way. I'm just reading this. This nationwide study from Ligonier Ministries reveals what Americans believe about key doctrines. You guys know what doctrine means? Teaching? Key doctrines of the Christian faith. Where do we get our key doctrines or all of our doctrines? Where do we get them from? The Bible. Real clear. Real clear. And the findings show that confusion. Huh. Who's the author of confusion? Satan. Let's just get everybody confused. Still reigns among professing Christians. Let me give you three statistics. 53% of American evangelicals agree everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. So there's a major flaw with this because that's completely anti-biblical. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin are death. We see this from the very beginning, from the garden, that there is now inherent sin in all of us from day one. From day one, we are rebellious babies. And some people are 50, 60, 70 years old, and they're still rebellious babies. 53%, over half, say, hey, we're pretty good. If we're pretty good, then why do we need Jesus? True? You see where this goes? Do you see how slippery the slope is here when you begin to get away from Scripture? You get out from under the teaching of God's Word, the authority of God's Word. You begin to think things that aren't accurate. 53% think that the Holy Spirit is a force but is not a personal being. It's very clear. The triune God. It's very clear. Very clear in Scripture. And yet, more than half aren't clear on the very person that indwells a true believer and makes them a tabernacle. He, the Holy Spirit, is a He. He indwells the true believer. He guides, He corrects, He nurtures, He illuminates. If you got half the people sitting inside a church who go, yeah, we're really not sure about this stuff, no wonder there's so much chaos. Lastly, 47%, so I guess it got a little better. Almost half, though, believe that God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, that's positive, Judaism, and Islam. So when God said there will be no other gods before me, he was just teasing. Is that what's going on here? Is that the implication? See, what happens is, it's very simple. When rebellious people don't get what they want, they begin to manufacture what they want. And so they now drag this in. And since Satan is the father of all lies, he's the author of all confusion, he's going to continue to kill, steal, and destroy by simply spreading lies and making people confused. Like, he doesn't have to pull out a gun. He doesn't have to be violent. He just spreads lies and gets everyone confused. And the damage spreads like a spiritual cancer. So you see now why our aim is that here we are to be a beacon, to be a lighthouse, to literally, as I look here at this word in front of me, we want to be a beacon, a lighthouse of biblical clarity and fidelity and truth, that we won't bend, we won't buckle and prayerfully, that as the hearer, the listener, takes this in, ingests it, digests it, they will begin to have an obsession for the truth of God's words. Just a hunger and a thirst. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be what? Satisfied. See, the only way you will be satisfied in life is if you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. You ever thought about this? So often we're constantly chasing all the things and all the stuff that will never satisfy, but we just keep chasing. You know what that is, don't you? That's the definition of what? Insanity. Chasing after the same thing over and over and over, other than Jesus, and expecting what? A different result. It's just nuts. It's crazy. But this is what Satan does. Lie, lie, lie. Confusion, confusion, confusion. Are you really a man? Are you really a woman? It's really clear what you are. It's really clear. This is not gender confusion. It's gender delusion. And it's all from the schemes of the enemy. It's all from the schemes of the enemy. It's all a lie. All these things you're seeing in the world today, they're lies. Just one lie after another. Just lie, lie, lie. That's why we are going to stand on the word of God. Amen? Amen? Well, here we are. We're back in Romans 12, 1 through 2. Let's read it together. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your what? Mind. That by testing, you may discern what the will of God is, or what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen? So here it is. We're going to go through this one more time, different supporting verses, and I pray you'll see it afresh and new. I pray it will sear and just drive deep into your soul like never before. And so Romans 12, 1, here it is. I appeal to you. Paul's saying, look, I beg you. I beseech you. I literally am saying this, Paul is. Paul's like, look, what I'm going to tell you next, your spiritual life hangs on this. Like, your life, where you go next spiritually, is hanging on this. If you could have anything, anything, anything in this life, what would it be? If you could have anything, I'm talking anything, literally, like there's no restraints, nothing is off the table. You could have anything you want in life. What would it be? Like, what would it be? Just think through that. Have you ever thought through that? Because, see, so often we're always on this search and this strain as humans trying to get where? There. Have you noticed that? We're always trying to get there. Here's my question. What's there? Like, what's there? Like, when you get there, what's there? Remember Joseph? I love this about Joseph. Joseph, he wasn't perfect, but woo, what a story, wasn't it? Back there in Genesis? And you remember the very end of Genesis, in the whole region there, the whole country, he's second in command. And he looks at brothers who sold him away in slavery, put him in a pit, and he says this, "Am I in the place of God?" See, here's where we got to get, church. We got to get to a point in our lives, especially here in America, where there's so many little g gods that lure us and bait us and seduce us. We got to get to a point where we go, when I get there, like wherever there is, here's the question, will God be there? Will God be ruling and reigning in your there? Like, is he going to be there going, "I'm in control, I'm on my throne," in your there? I think so many people who profess Christ, the reality is that they answer that truthfully. God will be nowhere near their there. I mean, nowhere even near. Because their there doesn't have him at the center, their there has them at the center. And right here, Paul's going, look, brothers, believers, if you are going to be all that God has called you to be, I am begging you, I am appealing to you, I am pleading with you, brothers, by the mercies of God. And church, you know this by now, but how many chapters did we spend on the mercies of God? We spent 11. We spent 11 chapters looking at the mercies of God. And Paul is saying, literally, I'm going to appeal to you by 11 chapters right here to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. To present, to yield. See, here's the key on this. Let's go back to your there, wherever your there is. Does getting to your there involve you and I yielding up all that we are to get to our there? See, often that's not the case. Often it's just the opposite. Often to get to our there, we don't yield up ourselves to God. We often grab God by the ankles, drag him around town to help get to our there. And Paul goes, no. Paul goes, you got this all wrong. Paul's like, here, you got to present who you are, your bodies, as this living sacrifice. Because yes, brothers, you're real, you're true in the faith. But the problem is your bodies have not been redeemed yet. Your soul's been redeemed. But there's an eternal war going on in Romans 6, 7, and 8. It's going on there. Why do I do the things I don't want to do? Who will deliver me from this body of death? That's why he says you got to yield. How often do we yield ourselves? Any ideas? Sundays? Wednesdays? If you're super spiritual, Sundays and Wednesdays, right? I'm spiritual. I got the blue ribbon today, right? You know, I got the certificate that's suitable for framing. I yielded both Wednesday and Sunday. No. All the time. Like a true believer just yields himself all the time, every day, every waking moment, just presenting, yielding. Here I am, God. Here I am. Here I am. And yes, he goes right back to this imagery of the priestly sacrifice. And it's beautiful imagery because the Jews could understand this. But it's so beautiful in this regard that the animal would be crucified and killed, and that blood would be sprinkled on the mercy seat once a year on the Day of Atonement. But you got to remember, the animal lost all of its rights. The animal didn't own itself anymore. And the person that gave the animal didn't own it either. When Jesus says, "I'm going to die for you that you might live as you surrender your life to me," he expects back from us that we yield ourselves up to him and that we no longer own ourselves anymore. That's the key. Well, we can't be in this thought of so many in the American church that, you know, I'm going to kind of play the game and do the dance and do the charade, and it's going to look true, it's going to look real, but the reality is I'm going to own myself. It's total surrender. And Paul's saying, look, if you're going to be real, if you're going to be true, and especially here in 2025, I don't have to tell you this. Like, does anyone else feel that the screws are tightening, like really, really quick in this culture? They are. The darkness and the light are colliding. It's a furious collision. It's a head-on collision. And we got to make a choice. We got to fall one way or the other. Am I going to stand for truth and walk in truth and live for truth, which involves me, you, presenting all that we are, giving all of ourselves up to God, saying, God, here I am. Literally, we now become, so to speak, that living sacrifice. We're on the altar. We're on the altar. And when the sacrifice is on the altar, typically the sacrifice is not calling the shots. Amen? That'd be kind of weird. It's not calling the shots. That's the imagery here. We're not a dead sacrifice. We are living, but we're not calling the shots anymore. And that's exactly what Paul's trying to communicate here. I urge you, I beg you, I beseech you, I plead with you. If you really want to make an impact, he's saying, if you really want to make a difference in your home, in your marriage, in your family, in your community, in your church, at the workplace, at the family reunion, if you really want to do these things, you got to yield all that you are to me, God says. Every bit of you. Every bit of me. I appeal, he says, I appeal to present, to yield your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, acceptable, pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. I mean, have you ever thought about this, church? Your greatest act of worship is not a song. It's not picking up the trash after Taco Bowl Sunday. Although, praise Jesus if you do that, amen. Your greatest act of worship, my greatest act of worship, is when you and I crawl up on our altar and say, Jesus, have all of me. Just have all of me. Just have all of me, God. Just use me for your glory. Use me for your fame. Use me for your renown. Whatever you want from me today, I'm all yours. I'm all in. That's our greatest act of worship. Amen. That's why I want you to write down this key number one. Write this down in your notes. Key number one. As we see here in Romans 12, 1, as a true Christ follower, my foundation, and we're talking about our foundation today. This is key. My foundation will be one of yielding up. If you guys are grammar correct, there should be a dash between yielding and up. All of me in living sacrificial surrender. Real simple. As we see here in Romans 12, 1, as a true Christ follower, my foundation will be one of yielding up all of me in living sacrificial surrender. Joyfully willing to submit. And I know that typically doesn't go hand in hand. Joyful and submission. But in God's economy, it does. A joyful, submissive heart is what God's after. And a heart where Christ has come in, a heart that's been redeemed, a heart that's been transformed, there will be a response of joyful submission. I want to yield to you, God. I want to be yours. I want you to use me. I want you to take all that I have and all my hopes and all my dreams, and I want you to be in control. That's a life worth living. If you and I are in control today of our lives, it may look good on the outside, but I can assure you this, there's an internal war going on the inside. If you and I are calling our own shots, it may look good on the outside. Other people may go, wow, what an amazing life. But I can assure all of us there is an internal struggle, an internal tug of war going on the inside. The whole point of the gospel is that, as that old phrase goes, you let go and let God. You can't hang on to you. I can't hang on to me and hang on to God at the same time. You hang on to one or the other. And Paul's saying here, it's all about joyful submission. Submitting our own desires, our own plans, whatever he asks us to do. Amen? And I thought about this as I was writing that down. Light represents God's truth. Amen? Darkness represents Satan and evil. Amen? Why then are we tempted on a daily basis to straddle the light and the darkness? Why then are we tempted to run back and forth between the light and the darkness? We know it's truth. We know it's dark. What is it that pulls us in, that lures us, that baits us? What is it we can put in play that would keep us, guardrails, from going into darkness when we know that's not the place to be? Well, what is it? I think there's many things that we could address in that. But whatever you feed your soul, whatever you feed your soul is what you will forever be on the hunt for. Whatever you feed your soul is what you will forever be on the hunt, the search, the longing for. If you're feeding your soul spiritual nutrients, biblical nutrients, godly counsel, fervent prayer, pursuing holiness and righteousness and obedience. If you pursue those things, as you feed your soul those things, you will begin, you'll see this, you'll begin to hunt for these things. Why? Because we quoted from the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness, for they will be, doesn't say they might be, it says they will be what? They will be satisfied. When you think about this, the word righteousness simply means to be made right with who? God. So in the midst of so much in our world clamoring and calling and begging us to be right with everything else. You ever thought about this? The world is constantly saying, psst, come over here and be right with this. Psst, come over here and be right with that. Psst, come over here and be right with this. Psst, come over here and be right with that. And there's Jesus over in the corner going, psst, come over here and be right with me through my blood, my righteousness, as you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to me, which is your reasonable spiritual worship, and you will finally find satisfaction. And yet, there's so many that will just resist. Even those that profess Christ, as we saw in these data points. There's so much confusion. Why? It's so simple. When you get out from under the Word, I can't say this enough. If you're not in the Word, if you're not under the Word, if you're not mining the truths of God's Word on a daily basis, here it is, the intake of all the other mental stimulations out there will begin to take over. All the other mental stimulations, and they're everywhere. They're in our back pocket, they're in our purse. You just open the phone, and now these mental stimulations are now producing a hunger for more of what's on the phone versus what's in the Bible. Can our phones be used for good? Amen. But they can be a tool of Satan. And we get addicted to them so often. And we're just addicted. We're enamored with these phones. And we're not presenting our bodies, yielding our bodies to the Lord as we dive into His Word. We're often just playing these games with God as we're presenting our bodies to anything and everything else, especially in this culture, something to do with this thought, church, that somehow we straddle, and this is what's going on, we straddle the line between the real world and the fake online world. Oh, it's fake. It's fake. Don't get sucked into it, I'm telling you. It'll just bait you, it will lure you, you'll get in so deep. but we straddle this line between the real world and the fake online world. God's word is what we need. God's word is truth. God's word is the balm and the salve that I need, that you need. I don't need to go online on social media and see what someone else is living, how they're living, what vacation they're going on, or whatever else is going on in their life. That often just stirs up attitudes that are not of the Lord if I'm not careful. I need to get in the word. I need to be in prayer. I need to be focused on truth, 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 truth. Our lack of Bible and our lack of prayer and our lack of spiritual community is not because we don't have time. It's because we're lured and swept away by the cares of the world. We don't want to be those people, amen?
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
Write down Luke chapter 9 under this key number 1. Key number 1 here, Luke 9, 23 through 26. 23 through 26, Luke 9, and he, Jesus, said to all, how many? All. If anyone would come after me, let him, number 1, deny himself. Number 2, take up his cross daily and follow me. Very key here. Jesus didn't just, you know, have three juggling balls and then, hey, all of a sudden, let's see what pops out number 1. No, he asked us and demanded of us to give him the very first thing on that list, because he knew in his hypostatic union, fully man, fully divine, he knew that the hardest thing that every human will do is deny them. Like, we'll deny other people all day long. Amen? Like, we're like, Lord, that person that's sitting three rows behind me, would you just deny them today? Just deny them whatever they're asking for. Just deny them. Like, that's easy to do that, isn't it? But deny me? To say, God, I want to deny me. I want you to deny me, God. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. The extent of the denial. And follow me at any and all costs. I would call this presenting and yielding myself up. Amen? Just presenting and yielding myself up. And then Jesus says these words in Luke 9, 24 and following. For whoever would save his life will do what? You guys know? Lose it. Huh. That sounds like what the media is telling you to do all week long, huh? Lose your life? Is that what the media is telling us? But whoever loses his life for my sake, Jesus says, will do what? Will save it. See, everything's backwards. Church, you got to understand this. If you're going to be a true believer in 2025 going in for the rest of your life, you got to understand this. If it's real and it's true, you live and serve in what's called the upside down kingdom. Everything's upside down. Like, if you're trying to approach God through the lens of the world, you'll never get to God. That's why you got to go through the Word. That's our filter. That's our lens. And Jesus just said, look, you got to lose your life. But Jesus, all week long, I'm hearing it's all about me. All week long, I'm being told how great I am. And you're telling me, Jesus, you got the audacity to tell more? You're going to tell more that I have to give up my life? Jesus is like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. If you really want to save your life spiritually, you got to lose it. You give it away. Just give it away in missionary sacrifice. Just give your life away. But he goes on even further. He says these words. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses and forfeits his soul? And so many people today, see, the challenge is, it's not that they're crawling up on the altar and yielding themselves. What they're doing is, they've gotten creative. They're like, you know what? I'm going to put something on the altar that I really don't care about anymore. And that's not a sacrifice. A sacrifice is where it hurts. If we're just giving God all the leftovers of whatever in life, all the scraps, that's not a sacrifice. That's a kick in God's shins. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul or forfeits his soul? For whoever, here's the warning, Jesus speaking, 26, Luke 9, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Did you catch this? I can be a pastor, I can be a deacon, I can be in church, I can be a Sunday school teacher, you can do everything in the church house that you can think is amazing and glorious. And the reality is this: if I don't surrender my life to Christ by denying myself, taking up my cross daily and following him and presenting my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is my reasonable service, if I don't do those things, it says right here in God's word that all that's going to be lip service and external. The heart was never in it. The heart was never really converted. And on that day, Jesus is going to say this: I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed. We need bold Christians. Man, it's high time. We need bold believers of the cross of Jesus Christ. We need people that are living for Christ like it's the air they breathe. We need people that are living for Christ like it's their last dying breath. Just living for Christ. That's what we need. We need pastors that are living for Christ like it's their last dying breath. We need pastors that are willing to lay it all on the line. Reputation, everything on the line. And say, you know what? I'm going to live for Christ. And if you love me, great. And if you hate me, great. I'm living for Jesus. That's what we need, don't we? We need that. We need truth in a dark culture. I couldn't help but think of the great thought there of the man. Remember the man who found the treasure in Scripture? I love this. I just love this. He finds the treasure, and do you remember what he does? He finds the treasure and then he goes and hides it. Remember this? He's like, I found the treasure. Ever done that before? Ever done that? Ever been digging around in your yard late at night and you go, ooh, I think we got some here. Get that old metal detector going, right? You're down there, you're digging down. You guys ever done that with your kids? Like you guys were like digging as kids. Remember this? We're digging, we're digging, we're getting really deep in the dirt there. We're like, One of the old boys there with a crooked hat on, he goes, I think I see China. Ever done that before? Forget water, I think we see China, right? Yeah, you're out there just digging away, aren't you? Because you found the treasure. It's pretty cool to find a treasure, isn't it? When you find a treasure, we're not talking about, hey, you know, and I get this, if you find a dollar bill, that's a good thing, I get it, but I'm talking you find a treasure. And you find the treasure. You're looking for the treasure, and you find the treasure. And the man there in Matthew, he is looking in the field, and all of a sudden he finds a treasure. He goes, psst, wait a minute, I got to hide this. I got to hide this. So he hides it. And then what does he do, do you know? It says this. Ready for this? It says, here's the phrase. In his joy, he sells everything he has. And he goes and buys the field. He's like, here, God, I want the treasure. I want the field. Do you see the sacrifice, the dedication? Just take everything from me, Lord, because I want you more than everything. Imagine what would happen in our world today if there were believers, true believers, that began to live like that. In his joy, here's what I think's going to make me happy, God, but actually, I don't want that. I want you. I want the treasure. Because I know this, that when I get there, God, you're going to be there. Do you see the power of God's word? And I pray it'll challenge us and strengthen us. Mark chapter 4, 16 through 19. Mark 4, 16 through 19. And it says this: these are the ones sown on the rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, that's the seed that's been cast, immediately, without delay, they receive it with what? With joy. They're happy. Oh, this is great. This is amazing. And they have no root in themselves. Their roots were false. And they endure for a while. Then when tribulation, when persecution, when heartache comes on account of the word. Did you catch that? See, the word will nourish, as I hold up the Bible, the word will nourish, but got the t-shirt. The word will also bring you a lot of pushback and persecution. Oh, it will, if you stand for it. You've got to remember the word, when it's cast on the table, it always divides the room. It's the truth. People that love it will crave it, and the people that really don't love it will hate it. And right here, back to Mark chapter 4, 16, they receive it with joy. The rocky ground hearers, we'll call them. They hear it, but they got a bunch of rocks in their ears. Ever had a bunch of rocks in your ears? Kind of hard to hear. You got rocks just rattling around in your head. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So immediately they received it with joy. This is amazing. This is great. That's what I've been looking for. Oh, this is what I've been missing in life. I got this, and I got that, and 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 I got this, and I got that. But wait a minute, I want to go there. What's over there? I don't really know, but this sounds like a logical fit. It's amazing. It's good. It gives me what I want. But then wait a minute. I'm suffering persecution for this? No one told me that. You mean I'm actually going to be made fun of for my faith? You mean, wait a minute, I might lose family members? You mean people might abandon me? No one ever told me this. This is what presenting and yielding your body amounts to? Are you serious? No one warned me about this. And immediately, without delay, just like immediately with joy they received it, immediately, without delay, they leave. I don't want this. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I can't do this. And they fall away. And then 18, and others are the ones that are sown among the thorns. So you got rocky ground hearers, and you got thorn infested hearers. These are those who hear the word, okay, positive, but the cares of the world, all the other things in the world, I'm busy. I got so many other things to do. And the deceitfulness of riches. If I can just make an extra buck here. I know I'm out from under the word again. But you know what? I can make an extra buck. And the desire for other things enter in and they choke. They strangle the word. And it proves to be unfruitful. See, these are the two middle soils, and this is where so many on the wide path that leads to destruction hang out. See, as true believers, as we present our bodies, we're on the narrow path, and it's hard, and it's difficult, and there's few on the path. There's lots of room on the path. It's narrow, but there's lots of room of commitment and surrender, and yet there we are, prayerfully, all of us, I pray all of us are on the narrow way, because here's the deal, it's hard, it's difficult, yes, there's few on there, but praise be to God, it leads to life, amen? Amen. It leads to life. See, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this: do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in you? Do you not know that you're God's temple and that His Spirit dwells in you? So church, that's Romans 12:1. What does Romans 12:2 say in summation? Well, again, he's writing to true believers. 11 chapters of mercy for true Christ follower right here. Do you want to know how you are to worship God? Do you want to know? I do. Answer, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed. Don't allow yourself to be fashioned into the mold of the world. Don't take on the outward appearance of the world while you are a truly saved person. And now there's this contradiction, mixed signals, a mixed message to those that are around you. You're truly saved, but you're living like the world. Don't do this. Don't be pressed into their mold. Don't be pressed into the prideful worldly system that's dominated by Satan, who's the prince of this world. He's the power of the air. He dominates this earthly realm. If you're not in Christ, you're just in this world of darkness, utter darkness. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle what? Against the spiritual forces, the hosts of darkness, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. If you've truly given your life to Christ, don't seek the things of the world. I pray if you've given your life to Christ and right now you're thinking about your there, I pray your there has nothing to do with the things of the world. Don't get there. Don't do it. Don't allow the world to press you into its mold. Don't do it. Don't remotely give anyone the idea that you're in the world. Don't do it. Don't do it. But be what? But be transformed. Remember metamorphosis? You're transformed. You're literally made new. Your outward self mirrors and does match. Don't be conformed to the world where it doesn't match. Metamorphosis, be transformed. Yes, that it would match that who you truly are as a saved, true child of God, your outward self, even though you're fighting against that body of death and that flesh, you are fighting tooth and nail. You are beating into submission daily, as Paul would say. He would say that I buffet my body. Amen? I think it's Buffett, but for you that are looking forward to Taco Bowl Sunday, you probably did think it was a buffet. You got to go on the attack. I've never met any person ever, not once, who was a truly sold out, surrendered follower of Christ, both inwardly and outwardly, who didn't have a systematic daily approach of going to war against their flesh. I haven't met one that didn't have that. I've met some that are doing it, and they have a systematic plan every single day of how to go to war against the flesh. They're attacking it. They're killing it. That's how you find the joy in life. You won't stumble. I won't stumble into holiness by accident. We won't stumble into obedience by accident. It's all intentional. That we're transformed by what? The renewal of your what? Your mind. The renovation of your mind. That by testing, you may discern or prove. You may prove what is the will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect. So think through this for a moment. God prayerfully has saved everyone in this room and everyone that's listening. I pray that's the case. I don't know, though. I don't know. I know my own heart. I know over the years, I've been around a lot of people that profess Christ. And as I've said so often, time is the great exposer of who we all really are. Just give us all time. And that's not always negative. That can be really positive. Well, if you're a true believer in Christ, from today till the day you die, you will give evidence inwardly and outwardly that you've given your life to Jesus. Amen? It's that simple. But I've seen this happen so many times over the years that someone professes Christ, they say they're all in, but what got revealed was they were just one of the two middle soils. No, we want to be people as believers that are transformed by God's Word. It all comes back to God's Word. God's Word has to be your life. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you, God. And I pray that's us today. Amen. Write down key number two here. Very simple. Again, this is all recap. But I'm just telling you, and I'm warning me and I'm warning you, if you think you're somehow going to thrive spiritually and somehow not live in Romans 12, 1 and 2, you're only fooling yourself. This is the key. This is the foundation. And that's why key number 2 is this. As we see here in Romans 12, 2, as a true Christ follower, my foundation will be one of a renovated or renewed, but renovated is the word mind, by what? By the truth of God's word, which will enable me, here it is, this is key, which will enable me to discern the will of God. Key number 2, as we see here in Romans 12, 2, as a true Christ follower, my foundation will be one of a renovated mind by the truth of God's word, which will enable me to discern the will of God. It blows me away how many people profess Christ who are undiscerning. Well, he or she, they told me something that was good, and so it sounded good. That's the basis? Do you know that Satan and those that are working for him, they masquerade as cosmopolitans of light? They're not running around in Halloween costumes all year long. They actually look good. They look true. The wolves in sheep's clothing. Hey, there's a sheep. Wait a minute. There's a zipper on the back of that sheep. That should be warning, right? Anytime you see a sheep with a zipper on the back of the sheep, you better run. That's not a sheep, that's a wolf. I think there's so many professed believers, they've got their head in the sand. I mean, they're just like, well, you know, if he doesn't have fangs and a pitchfork, he must be from God. The undiscernment is just, it's off the charts. And the reason it's off the charts is we make every excuse not to live and breathe in this Bible. This is it, I'm telling you. I'm pleading with you. Like, I'm pleading with you today. Hear my heart, hear my love for you. As we lift up Christ, if you want to have a strong family, the way you build a strong family is through the Word of God. Everything is through the Word of God. We are in a crisis. I just read you 3 stats, just 3, which represent where we are spiritually. Like, is there anyone out there that actually believes this stuff anymore? Is there anyone out there that really wants to give their life to this? Is there anyone out there that wants to surrender all that they are and present their bodies as a living sacrifice and live every day to the hilt like it's their last day? Is there anyone out there that is, as Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he can never lose. Is anyone out there? Is there anyone out there that's willing to go, you know what, I want to use my life as a billboard, as a mission field, that God would use my life in such a way that just many would come to know Jesus? Like, is that you're there? Is that you're there? I think the reality is there's a large majority of those that profess Christ all across our world today that just want to be entertained and want to be coddled. And I think one of the great revealers of how we know where we are spiritually is simply one question. How do I respond when I'm confronted with the truth of God's word? How do I respond? Do I get mad? Do I blame everyone else? Do I start gossiping and lying about the people that are loving me enough to share God's word and to guide me and protect me in God's word? How do I respond when I'm confronted? When I open this Bible every day, how do I respond? It offends my flesh on many days, if I'm honest. My flesh pushes against it. But I know it's for my good. I know it's for God's glory. I know it's what's going to make me and conform me into the image of Christ. That I take in deep spiritual nutrients and I just bathe in the Bible and I just take in my spiritual IV drip. Oh God, feed my soul today. Make me new in you, God. I'll tell you what, if you don't, you'll be like that soil that it looked good on the surface, but there were no roots. You'll be like the chaff, just blown away, blown away. Oh, church, we want to be strong believers in the one who died and took our place. Amen. We want to be sold out to the one, the King of glory, the one who we lift up every Wednesday, every Sunday, and we say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Amen. We want to be just dialed in and committed with every fiber of our being to Jesus, as we just read from Isaiah earlier, that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him, the chastisement was laid upon him, and by his stripes, we are healed. We want to be those people, amen? Let's be game changers. Let's be world changers. Let's not float around and float along with the mediocre and the average and the watered down and the compromising here and the compromising there on God's truth, evangelical world. Don't get swept up in that current. It's really tough swimming upstream, isn't it? When the mind is renewed by God's word, we will hunger for the truth of God's word. That's why I wrote down Psalm 119. 105. I thought about reading you all the verses in Psalm 119, but for you that know how many verses are there, you said what? Amen, that we didn't. Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my what? My feet. And a light unto my what? My path. Have you ever thought about that? Such a simple verse, isn't it? And we talked about looking for that treasure at night, and maybe you've done that. Maybe you will do that tonight. Maybe there's been something stirred in your mind and soul that you're going to go out in the middle of the night and dig and try to find China. I don't know what you might do, but I will say this. I will say this, that when you're outside in the dark, boy, it helps to have a light, doesn't it? And you got to remember, church, that we live in a world that's under the dominion of Christ, but he allows it to be under the control of who? Satan. And Christ represents light, and Satan represents darkness. Right here, it says your word. What is the word? What I hold up? The Bible. The Bible is a lamp unto my what? My feet. Why is it a lamp unto my feet? What's the big deal? Why shouldn't it be a lamp unto my arms? Or my ears? You know why, don't you? Because where you're walking is where you're going. And way too many people claim Christ. They're not walking towards him. They're walking away from him. See, it's the truth. It's the Bible, your word, God. Your word is a lamp. It's a guidance system. It's a high beam flashlight. It's like one of those flashlights you get at 2:30 in the morning on the info channel. You know what I'm talking about? Buy one now within the next 12 minutes and get 100 free. You know what I'm talking about? Buy now. This place is going bananas, bananas, bananas. You know what I'm talking about? It's this crazy stuff, isn't it? And you get these flashlights, right? And they're high beam flashlights. They say, like, if you turn them on in Chesterfield, you can see it in Los Angeles. I don't know if it really works, but it was $7, so I don't know. Maybe it does. Supposedly, it's this crazy NASA-inspired flashlight. Well, imagine a God-inspired flashlight, the great God of the Bible, that his light, his word, will be a lamp unto my feet. Where I'm headed, where you're headed, is where you're going. I need God's word every day because it guides me. It leads me. It nourishes my soul. But it leads me and guides me into the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Amen? That's it. For his name's sake. See, that's your there. That's what your there is. Your there needs to be, it's for God's glory, and when I get there, God's going to be there dominating there. That's there, isn't it? Your word, God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word is going to guide you as you walk in the darkness, because you're in the world as a believer, but not of the world. So you still got to navigate the world. You're still here. Then this Wednesday, we're going to talk about what it looks like to evangelize, what it looks like to share faith. So we're here not just to hold down the concrete. We're here to do something, right? I mean, just think through this. If God's whole mission was just to save you, wouldn't he just save you and poof, you're out of here, right? There's a reason why we're here. And the overarching reason is to get there, and our there is not to be filled with us. Our there is to be filled with God. And you get there, and you go, wow, that's a life worth living once you look back from there. See, that's the sorry part. When you get there, and you look back and go, man, that was a waste. That was a crummy life. I wasted all those years living for myself. I'll never get those back. No, make sure you're there, God's there, that he's living there, he's dominating there, so that when you get there, you look back on that journey to there going, it wasn't perfect, but wow, whoo, God, look what you did as you used me for your glory. Man, it was rough, it was bumpy, but wow, whoo, this is a life worth living here. We saw people come to know Jesus, and we discipled people, and wow, we stood for truth, and yeah, we took it on the chin, and people hated us, and I got it, but man, going there with you, God, was worth it. Yeah, it was worth it to go there with you. Thank you. Yeah, I think just so many people, they're heading there, and it just when they get there, it's going to be just a bunch of regret. That's why James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving who? Yourself. Be doers, be obeyers. Don't be sayers, be obeyers. Don't just be a sayer. Hey, man, that was great. That was awesome. I love God's word. Where are the tacos? So often, man, we just check off boxes, and it's like, man, get in the word, mind the scriptures, live in that Bible. It will change you. It will transform you. It will change your marriage. It will change your home. It will change your kids. It will change your grandkids. Even the ones that hate it and rebel against and say, I don't want it. Man, get that Bible open. Have it open all in your house. Marinate your house in scripture. Marinate your house in Christian songs. Marinate your house in all things that are godly. Marinate your house with something that's over the doorpost of your house that says, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to bend. We're not going to buckle. We're not going to break. We're not going to be conformed to this world. We're not going to get pulled into the sewer. But we're going to be transformed. We're going to have this metamorphosis that our inner true salvation will mirror this outside of our lives that's living for God. And oh, by the way, this is all going to happen as our mind is renovated and renewed and rebuilt and restored by the Word of God. See, these verses are for true believers because, see, if you're not a true believer, you won't want these verses. But if you're a true believer, you should right now be salivating for these verses. Just salivating. Man, I want this. I want this so bad. I want this more than anything in my life. I want to live for Jesus until he calls me home. Amen? Amen. You know, I thought about so many things to close with, but you know, Spurgeon said it like this, and it's hard to argue with the prince of preachers. There can be no peace between you and Christ while there is peace between you and sin. There can be no peace. Remember that survey? I just now thought of this. I think I mentioned this at least a few years ago, but there was a survey. This now just dawned on me. There was a survey many, many years ago. I think I heard this back in the early 2000s. which is hard to believe. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? Kind of hard anymore to go, well, you know, that was in 2003, and you kind of think, that was nice. That was 22 years ago. But the survey went something like this. What do you fear most in life? That's an interesting question, isn't it? I haven't seen too many surveys like that before. What do you fear most in life? There are a myriad of answers, a myriad. But the number one answer was this: having lived life, having made no difference at all. That was the number one answer. Do you see where unwittingly the human heart, what it's really craving for? What the there really looks like? The world says you and me and you and me and self and self and self. And yet even a survey says, what do you fear most in life? I don't want to get to the end having made no difference. How do you make a difference? You make a difference by looking away from yourself. You make a difference by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily and following Jesus to the hilts. That's how you make a difference. That's how you make a difference. As we lift high the name of Jesus, let's be Christ followers that are truly committed. Amen? Remember, our commitment will either strengthen the body, or our lack of commitment will actually weaken the body. And let's be true followers of Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I come before you. And Lord, we worship you on this day. Lord, we love your word. Our aim is to be a beacon and a lighthouse of truth, your truth. To create prayerfully by the Holy Spirit's power an obsession for biblical truth, biblical fidelity, biblical clarity in those that hear, in those that listen. And so, Father, I pray that if there's one here that's either here today that has never truly given you control of their life, they're still in control. They don't have a hunger for your word. They don't have a hunger for fervent prayer. They don't have a hunger for obedience and righteousness and holiness. Lord, if there's one here today or even listening that falls into that camp, oh God, I pray. We're not promised tomorrow. And so I pray, God, by the Holy Spirit's power, would you illuminate truth to that person, that they would surrender everything to you. God, forgive us as a world, an evangelical world in particular, that so often embraces the song, I Surrender Some. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for mocking you by surrendering to ourselves, and whatever's left over, we throw your way. Oh, Lord, I pray that we'd be people that are just so committed to you. As our children are watching, as our grandchildren are watching, as our neighbors and co-workers and friends, they're watching us. If they have any remote idea we profess Christ, they're watching. And they want to see if we're really different. And so, God, I pray. I pray as Paul and the Holy Spirit through the Word appeals to us right now. He appeals by the mercies of God. Right here in your Word, your truth. The glorious mercies of 11 chapters, and then all of a sudden we land on two verses. That we would present and yield our bodies as a living, not a dead sacrifice. It's holy and acceptable to you, which is a reasonable and spiritual worship. God, don't allow us to be conformed to the world and what others say, but may we, God, I pray, may we be transformed by the renewal, the renovation of our minds, that we will be able to discern and prove what is your will. Oh God, we need discerning people that can listen acutely and understand when truth is being told and when it's not. Give us minds and ears and hearts to discern. So Father, we pray that you would guide us into all truth. Keep us from the schemes of the enemy. Protect us from the enemy and those that are working for him, God. May you receive all the glory as we surrender all that we are to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.